I'm just going to show you some of the things that God has literally over the years given me an opportunity to develop. And so for me, it is a time, number one, a purpose to focus on His plan for my life and to see Him move in that place and to see Him more than I've ever seen Him in action in my life. Number two was to purpose to let Him control more and more of my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions. And that kind of connects with the scripture that I shared with you guys in Hebrews, where you know that you've been already made perfect by His blood, but being made holy is a whole different ballgame. And if you wonder why being made holy is something that's difficult, it's because it's not a human ability. It is only a spiritual ability that can make you holy. And by you taking time to focus on Him, He will establish what He wants, and He'll make it manifest, and He will show you some of the things about yourself that you may not like. But as you press on and you go forward, He already gave you, James chapter 4, humble yourself before God. Resist the enemy. Well, we don't always want to see ourselves as the enemy, but sometimes it's us that's the enemy. It's not always the enemy, meaning the devil pushing buttons. It's you and me having a place where we can see ourselves for the first time. And then obviously humbling ourselves and saying, okay, God, I can't do this. Number three is seeing how selfish I truly am. And when He asks me to let go of something, how truly my will and my emotions are still rebelling and doing just the opposite. Yes, lawlessness. And of course, learning to confess that this is a sin and receive the blood to go forward. Yes, the blood of the Lamb. And to ask Him to take over. Asking Him to take over my emotions. Asking Him to take over my weaknesses. Because you know what? Most of the time I don't do too well with it. If I try to connect the old dots and do it by the natural ways, I've got news for you. I get natural responses. But when the Holy Spirit's in charge, it changes something inside of us. Because He's able to kind of churn things around and churn them enough that you can begin to see, wait a minute, if I let Him go in, He will do a work that I could never do. Number four, it's a time to appreciate all that He has done inside of me and to see the progress that He seeks to release for me in this season ahead of me in 57-71. Now, I could say 2000 or 2010, but see, God's calendar is God's calendar. And I'm not trying to make you go around buying calendars to put one on your one wall and put another on another wall. But your spirit man is not going to go according to the Roman calendar. Your spirit man is going to go according to the godly calendar that He put forward. He designated certain seasons for Himself. That's why He's a selfish father. He says, do it my way, and I will meet with you. Verse 5, or number 5, is to confess what He says about me from His mind being formed in me more and more. Yes, His mind, His heart, and His love for me. See, it starts personal. He's a personal Savior. He's a personal deliverer. And He's a personal renewer and revealer. He will reveal things you won't like. And when you see them, I hate to say it, but you're going to find some very natural responses that you might have had from memories, old memories. And I'm blessed that, you know, the Lord was allowing the oil to go on the memory banks. My commission today was to just take and put oil on both my hands and to just literally slide the stuff off that you're holding on to. It's symbolic of what you're trying to hold on to just to survive. Have you ever tried to let go of something and you can't? Well, that was my job. And some of you, I could feel. And I remember a couple of people, the Lord says, now turn your fingernails and scrape on the interior of the palm of the hand because it's stuck there. It's like super glue. Get a clue? Mm-hmm. And you're holding on to it because you don't know any other way to go forward. And when you don't know a better way, what do you hold on to? What you've known. Or what you're accustomed to. So guess what? I took away some of your babas. Your favorite way of survival might be some kind of a pacifier that you use. My job was to just help you to eliminate it and let it go. Number six is to admit that I have so much of my life that I have wasted. And to look ahead and see that even in all my ways, he can heal and set me on a road of life and peace and love. So to forgive myself and to go forward is a choice I make. And to activate that choice. Now, you may not be ready to activate a choice like that. But you know what? I know he's persistent enough to take and comfort you, heal you, knock on your shoulder periodically, and say, are you ready now? And I'll be honest with you. In some cases, I wasn't ready. And I would admit it to him, Lord, I don't even want to change. Because I'm a fearful man of what you're about to do with me. Can anybody confess that? Yeah. We fall into fear of, oh my God, I don't know. Can I make this decision? Can I really trust? And to be honest with you, sometimes I told him outright, I can't, I don't trust you, Lord. I'm fearful. You know what? When you humble yourself and you admit your failure, your shortcoming, your fear tactics, or whatever they may be. When you say to him, I can't do this. You know, I can just literally say to you that it feels like when my sons would come to me as they were young and they wanted to do certain things. My oldest son was a bicycle nut. When I say that, I mean that. I mean, my dad and mom bought him a tricycle. I don't even think he was a year old. And the next thing you know, he's riding it. My father-in-law, Rick, is now not even two. Okay? He turned two in the end of September, and this is late August. My father-in-law goes to Canada, and on his way home from Canada, stops at some place, I don't know, even know where, to this day, I still don't know, and buys him a two-wheel bike with training wheels. Guess what? He rode it in the driveway the day he came home. He wasn't two. Okay? Now, he rides motorcycles today. Why? Do I blame the father-in-law? No. It was a love that was built into this kid from the time he was a small boy. Where did he inherit it from? I got news for you. I know where he inherited from. My wife was a very young lady. I'm not sure exactly what age that she received her first two-wheel bike. But I do know this, that it was for Christmas. She would be the one that would tell you how old she was. But I understand she wasn't very old. And in those days, they didn't have training wheels, so she had to learn with it. She rode her bike in the winter so much that first day that she ended up with pneumonia. So where does this love of bicycles come from? Certainly doesn't come from me, because my first two-wheeler that I was allowed to buy, I was over 30 years old, because my mother would not let me have a two-wheel bike. You know why? Because my best friend got killed on a two-wheel bike. So therefore, she's not taking a chance that I'm going to get killed on a two-wheel bike. So you can't have one. So guess who was in control of my mom? My dad had to go along because he had to live with her. You think that's teasing? I'm not teasing. I'm telling you the truth. Okay? Her fear tactics were intense. Why was she bound by fear? Because she was brought up in fear. She was brought up in fear and trembling of her dad, who was an alcoholic. She was brought up with a lot of pressure. One of 18 kids. If you're in the middle of 18 kids, there's lots of competition. And probably she felt that she had no value in herself. And many things happened, and I'm not going to go into the details, but I do know this. This kid wasn't going to get a two-wheel bike. Wasn't going to happen. So I'm 30-something years old. My sons are riding around on two-wheelers, and I have an opportunity to buy a second-hand, almost like new, two-wheel bike. So I come home with my truck with a two-wheel bike in the back, and my wife says, "You've got to be kidding." I had never told her I'd never had a two-wheel bike. So I'm getting this two-wheel bike out of the truck, and I'm driving around the driveway, going a ride with my sons, and she says, "Where'd you get the bike?" I says, "This is my first two-wheeler." She says, "What?" And she didn't believe me. Close your eyes for a moment. Say, "Lord Jesus, there are things about people that I love that I may not know. And unless their hearts are open to share, only then will I know. So I hide things sometimes. Just not to be persecuted. Or laughed at. Or mocked. Because I bowed of fear. Just like him. I wasn't going to share with anybody that my mother never let me have a bike. Because you see, when I met my wife, I could drive. There was no reason to tell her that I always had an inkling to get a bike. It wasn't public knowledge for those around here that my best friend at 15 was killed in front of his house. It wasn't something I wanted to share. I wanted to forget it. Okay? Got his three fractured skulls, and two surgeries later, he died on the operating table because he would have been a vegetable for the rest of his life. His mom is still living. When I go to Canada, I go visit her. She's going to be 90, I believe 97 or 98 in a few days. I received love from those two people, her and her husband, during the years that I was totally incapable of functioning. Because you see, there was a year in my life when I turned 10 to 11, I was very sick, and we lived in their house. And that lady and her husband poured in love that I so desperately needed. I'll never forget them. And I know there's a special place in my heart for people who stretched out to accept me, because I was used to rejection. I was accustomed to rejection. I was accustomed to dictates under the anointing of fear. How many know you adjust your lifestyle to make it happen so that you can survive? Yeah. I'm asking Father to take those survival techniques away from me more and more. But sometimes it's a little scary. So again, to forgive myself and to go forward is an absolute necessity. Number 7 is in the closing. To trust by choice his plan as it unfolds. And to thank him to complete me in his image. And I said, "Lord, you know, I'm sharing my heart today because we're preparing for the opening of this feast. This feast where he's going to indwell his creation. That's what tabernacle means. It means that I've got to make room inside my heart for more of him. And I can't make room for more of him until I get me out of the way. Okay? It's like if your entire driveway is full of snow and you've had 5 or 6 snowstorms and now the piles on both sides are getting higher and you start shoveling. Where are you going to put this new stuff? Unless you find some way to get rid of the old. And I believe our hearts are like that. Sometimes he can't put anything new in because we're holding on to the old. And I believe during this feast, he's cleaning house. He's bringing the fire in to burn the snow. He knows how to do that. And I said, Lord, what's the scripture that will solve the problem? And he says, go to John 14. So come to John 14 with me. And it's just verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Are you catching on? Do not let my heart trouble me. Do not let my heart trouble me. Do not let it continue. Then it says, trust in God. Well, if you haven't been able to trust him so far, admit it. Confess it. Because it's really bowing to the old spirit of fear. Whether you're conscious of it or not. That's really the bottom line. Fear is in control. And it needs to go. God did not give you a spirit of fear. He gave you power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Why do you think I know it by heart? Because I had to learn it. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I don't want to go to verse 2. I'm just trying to tell you that's the solution. Do not let my heart be troubled. Not to let my heart be troubled. If I stop my heart from being troubled, what happens to me? What's going to happen to my emotions if I stop my heart from being troubled?
Fall apart.
Huh?
You're
going to
fall apart.
Okay.
What would you find? I think you'd have more peace.
Yeah. More freedom. If I don't let my heart be troubled, there's going to be peace that's going to come in. There's going to be an assurance that's going to start forming. And if it's anything like me, yeah. Well, what happens is there's a war that goes on. That war is very real. You know, you can't make believe that that war isn't there. It is real. Okay? Because again, see, Jesus was not giving them an option. He said, do not. Now, if I say, do not cross that threshold, is that something that you really should choose not to? Yes, you should, but it's a direction. Do not let your hearts be troubled. In other words, if you see something that's forming in you, that's creating a problem, as you declare this, I will not let my heart be troubled about this. I will not let my heart go into the old pattern. I will definitely resist as best I can. Holy Spirit, help me to see. All right? Trusting. I confessed this to you many, many times before, where I told the Lord, I don't trust you. I don't trust anybody. I don't even trust me. Yet I had more trust for me than I had for him. I admitted it. Okay? Because every time I trusted somebody else, it backfired. Can anybody relate? Okay? Or I got hurt so many times that I said, I'm not doing this again. Now, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth, if you confess with your mouth, you will either get receiving of salvation or you will bind yourself up. Now, if you're under the anointing of love, you are going to bring yourself to new freedom. But if you're under the anointing of fear, you are going to bind yourself up under that anointing. And they become what? They become traps. And you are actually confessing yourself into a status of fear, a status of no trust. And your confession continues in that space, and it's like going around with a flat tire. The more you try to survive, you're hitting that same old spot where you're flat. Blum, blum, blum. It doesn't work well. So again, if you don't trust, tell the Lord. And He will begin to form your heart in the image of Himself. That's His work. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, and the Comforter. He will do this. Trust in Him. That's when you say, okay, I can't do this. Holy Spirit, I need help. He'll give you the help you need. And you know what? I've also learned that there were times that the Lord would tell me, okay, I want you to just share this weakness with so-and-so. Share this area where you're hurting with so-and-so. And He'll show you who. You know why? Who? Not just anybody? Because it's usually a person that's already been there. They've already had their victory. And they will have the anointing to set you free. And I learned that many, many years ago. If you are having a heart problem, ask for prayer for the one who had victory over the heart disease. Why? Because they've got the anointing to release to you. Now I'm going to go a little serious. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to just visualize inside your heart your biggest weakness that you've ever fought in your entire experience in the earth. The greatest weakness. It is God's goal to take that greatest weakness and to make you an expert for the healing of others from that very space. That's what He's going to specialize you with. Those areas where you've been wounded and wounded and re-wounded and you have survived and overcome, then you'll be able to help and teach others. You'll be able to lay hands on them and they will get free. You say, well, my God doesn't have a plan for me. Yes, He does. Do you have a weakness that He can use that you've already overcome? Do I get a couple of amens?
Amen.
Okay, those are your specialties. Those very areas where you were challenged and you overcame and God gave you grace and you finally got the victory. Then you're going to be prepared by God to be used to lay hands on those that are sick of that same problem. And you're going to actually be drawn to you by the Holy Ghost because the Holy Spirit will give you a victory for them because you already know how to overcome. You close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, every corner of my weaknesses, I willingly release myself to You to be used to set free others that are in captivity. Maybe greater than I am, or greater than I was, depending on where I am on my walk with You. But I'm willing to lay hands on those that You bring to me, because they need freedom. And I've already got a percentage of it. But God,
I'm willing to be used for your glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Again, hallelujah. Amen.